This is Matt Wells at UN News. Promoting the rights of women in the occupied Palestinian territory is not going to be easy, but the political will is there to bring about change, a leading UN-appointed expert said on Monday. It marks the first time that the Palestinian Authority, which administers much of the occupied West Bank, has worked directly with the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW. In an interview with UN News in Geneva, CEDAW member Nala Haidar said that the authority's willingness to ratify the International Covenant on Women's Rights without reservation had sent a strong signal to the international community. Nonetheless, the fact that less than 40% of Palestinian land is under the control of the authority is a complicating factor, the expert told Daniel Johnson, as are the different legal traditions regarding women in Gaza and the West Bank.
What we discovered is that there is a political will, obviously. The ratification itself shows that commitment to have an international legitimacy. The issues for Palestine are complex because of their inheritance of different legal system, and there is no harmonization. And in fact, it's not even the same inheritance of legal system between Gaza and the West Bank. So that complicates a lot any attempt they want to make, you know, to have women covered by the same legislation on all the territory. Let alone the fact that, as we all know from the maps that we deal with in the UN, that the Palestinian government does not have authority over all what is supposed to be their territory. So again, there you have population like Bedouin population. Sometimes they don't have even any access or authority over them. It's about 60% of the territory that is not under their jurisdiction.
And which particular laws are you hoping will be amended, repealed?
The first area that we have asked for is a clear definition of discrimination so that we don't have a gray zone. Because we heard something that when they were discussing what prevails, international law, or that the court rendered a judgment, the constitutional court, rather an avis, as we say in French, that the international treaty are paramount, provided they respect culture and history and tradition. And this is a bit risky, scary, because many countries who put this kind and then use them as reservation, remember, Palestine ratified without reservation. So it would be a pity that from this angle we come back and we nullify the implementation of the convention. But we had a very strong statement saying from the head of delegation that this was only an avis. It's not a judgment. And they are really going the route of the supremacy of international treaties. We have seen from also dialoguing with the NGOs that there are several draft laws that will really help. One of them is a revision of the penal code, which has currently at least two or three areas that are completely negative, in the sense that it allows the rapist to escape penalty if he marries the victim, which is completely, you know, unacceptable, that it gives still ground to what is called a crime in the so-called name of honor. But apparently all of these issues have been addressed in this draft, but this draft has not been adopted. So what we have requested is, first of all, to ensure to review the draft within this Committee for Harmonization to be compatible with the convention and adopt that draft following its clearance.
And this is a Committee for Harmonization from the State of Palestine.
Yes, they have already established that committee that has to deal with, as I told you, with reminiscence from the Ottoman, the British, and all sorts of system bits and pieces, and try to bring some coherence, including between Gaza and the West Bank.
And is everybody, all of those holding the levers of power, are they going to uniformly adopt this? What's the feeling? Who have you been discussing these changes with exactly?
Yeah. It was an issue of concern, as you know. There have just been recently talks for national reconciliation between Gaza and the West Bank. But the feeling that we have is that it is even before having the parliament assembled to adopt, the president has power to issue by decree. So we're asking him to exercise this power and issue by decree these three draft laws, the penal code, but there is also draft penal procedural code, and there is the one on status family law, which is, again, a very important aspect, because most of the tribunal now that apply Sharia, the Sharia court, ultimately have to be revisited, looking at what the scholars have done in other Muslim countries in terms of progressive thinking, so that women also are not discriminated against for marriage, for guardianship, and for many of the other aspects that are currently managed by the family status law. So we're hopeful that within 2 years, this is the follow-up timeline for us, these areas will be addressed. And obviously, we're hoping that all the other recommendations will be implemented between now and the second report, which is in 4 years' time.
You've said that the engagement of the Palestinian authorities has been really proactive, and they've been very interested in the whole process of the human rights committees here in Geneva. But how would you compare the state of Palestine with other Muslim nations of the region and further afield?
I think for me, the symbolic thing was the ratification without reservation. That was already very courageous, because most of the others, they have a reservation on Article 1 and 2, which has the heart of the convention, provided they do not challenge Sharia, which means it's not going to work unless you really have scholars who are proactive in interpreting positively. So, and for instance, we have many of them that have reservation under Article 9 on nationality. Women don't transmit to their children, don't give to their husband. This is not the case in Palestine. So for certain area, I think really they project themselves as extremely committed. But again, I say here, the context maybe is more difficult for them to deliver against what they want, or maybe the context is an excuse not to deliver against what they want. So I have a feeling that from this dialogue and from the engagement of the civil society, who were going to oversee constantly what's happening, that we will probably get results.